Welcome to Grace Point Fellowship Sunday morning worship. I'm Pastor Gary Ladd. I'm thankful for God's word and for those who seem to have a real gift for relating what it means to us today. You probably recall from the book of Esther, chapter 4, when Mordecai told Esther that she had been raised up to the position of being queen for such a time as this. I think that's what Robert Morgan's book, The Red Sea Rules, is as well. I think that The Red Sea Rules is a book that is written for such a time as this. I think it's a book that you ought to have in your library, and you can order it online, and it will be delivered right to your door. Today, we're going to address another God-given strategy for difficult times that we find in Exodus chapter 14. So find Exodus chapter 14. And turn with me. We're going to be looking at verses 10 and 11 today. A strategy that we're going to be looking at today is prayer. Robert Morgan calls that Red Sea Rule number 4, prayer. You know, some life situations can be so difficult that they really offer us just two options. Either we panic or we pray. Most of the times we do just like the Israelites did at the Red Sea, and we panic instead of actually turning to God and giving Him the opportunity to show us His great and mighty works. You know, we've all had our share of panic attacks, and perhaps you've been struggling with some of that these days with the pandemic that we've been dealing with here in the United States and all across the world. We have our share of attacks, of panic attacks, but you know, God would really have us to do something very different. God shows us through His Word and through His Holy Spirit that if we choose to engage in faithful, fervent prayer, things can be very different. If we will engage in faithful, fervent prayer to the Lord our God, we can stay even tempered, we can stay cool-headed, and we can stay spiritually strong even in the midst of a crisis. Last week, we stopped at Exodus chapter 14, verse 9, and at that point, we remember that Pharaoh had sent his whole army to chase down the Israelites. He had bottled them up in the cul-de-sac there by the Red Sea, and they were trapped. Today, we're going to pick up right there where the Israelites first saw Pharaoh's huge army bearing down on them as they were caught between the army and the Red Sea. Now, although they did a good many things wrong, here they did one thing that was absolutely right. They cried out to God in prayer. Let's read about that. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. Leave your Bibles open after we read, because we're going to read verse 11 just a little later in the sermon. 14:10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Folks, let me ask you, what do you do in a time of crisis? During hard times, who do you turn to? What is your go-to? During the difficult times in our life, we must always have options. And the very first thing that every person should be doing is to strive to press on. We look to God for strength. We look to God for wisdom. We look to God for His answers as we take step by step our life's journey. Now, we literally learn to work and to live through our trials. You know what that's called? Life. Everybody has difficulty. Everybody has trials. And God doesn't always deliver us around our difficulties. As a matter of fact, most of the time, He just gives us the strength to go through our difficulties. He gives us His help, His guidance, His love, His care, His wisdom. Most of the time, when we hit a hardship, God strengthens our backs and He gives us good common sense to deal with what's going on. And we must do our best then to muddle through life's difficulties. Again, that's just called life. Everybody has them. But what do you do when the going through seems to be impossible? Like what happens with Israel and Pharaoh's army when it seemed that there was absolutely no escape. When you're caught between life's seemingly impassable seas and it seems like Satan's army coming at you from the other side. You can't go left, you can't go right, and it seems like there's absolutely nowhere to go and that failure is imminent. Listen, when all of our efforts just seem to fail, what do we do? That's when it's time to look upward to God and ask God, Lord, make a way. We're always to pray. We're always to seek His help. We're always to seek His guidance, to seek His strength in our daily walk. After all, we learn from God's Word that we are not able to handle all the spiritual attacks that come against us. It's God's ability. It's His Holy Spirit in us that gives us that strength. But we are still to try, and we are to look to God for that strength and help. That is what God's Word tells us His followers did here at the Red Sea. And other times, there are a number of other people that called on God, many of them as we read through all of the different people recorded in the Bible. You remember that in an uncertain time, Jacob, in Genesis chapter 35, called on God for his help. He told his family, he said, let's arise and let's go to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me always. David, when he was running for his life, when he was out in the desert running from King Saul, and he was just trying to stay alive, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 7 says that he said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried out to my God. He heard my voice calling from his temple. Psalms 107 says, they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Psalms 107, verse 28 and 29. Well, we find that in the scripture that we just read in Exodus chapter 14, that's exactly what Israel did. They cried out to God. Now, I'm not talking about that regular daily prayer that we are supposed to be having as we walk, as we talk, and as we go. Those daily quiet times are really important, but that's not the type of prayer we're talking about here. We're talking about the urgency, the time of crisis prayers. Now, those daily prayers and our quiet time are literally the foundation upon which our emergency prayers will rest. But I'm talking about those crisis prayers, the intense and the urgent times of our life, prayers during life-threatening or soul-shattering events. It just seems that those are different times. Even the scripture says that even our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in the garden, that he prayed more earnestly when he was seeking God's direction and God's strength to face the cross. In Matthew chapter 17, we're told that there are times when special prayers are needed, that just normal prayer doesn't do the job that we need. So what are then some of the ingredients of those special prayers? Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 gives us several of them. The first ingredient that we get for urgent, for those prayers in crisis is urgency. The Israelites were in crisis, and their cry of prayer was urgent. Verse 10 says they cried out, literally pleading to God. That they cried out is an indication that their prayer was urgent. It wasn't a normal prayer where they just began to speak to God, but they literally cried out and that they were pleading with the Lord. There are times when we must be desperate in prayer. Sometimes we must wrestle with God. Sometimes we need to be outspoken with God. Sometimes we need to be pleading and almost shameless in our prayers before God because the situation calls for it. Now, sometimes these prayers are long, and you know as well as I that there are times that our prayers could last for hours, and there have been times in my life, and I'm sure in your life, that our prayers have lasted all night long. But there are also times when our prayers just need to be short and sweet. We just need to get right to business, and we need to ask God and then move on to take care of the situation that's around us. Peter is an example of that. You remember when Peter was out on the sea in the ocean when it was a tempest, and the Lord came to them, and Peter cried out to the Lord and he said, "Lord, bid me to come to you." And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on water towards Jesus Christ. But then you know what happened. He took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink in the water. Now, I'm going to tell you that his situation at that time did not allow for a long prayer. He wasn't able to go off to the mountains. He wasn't able to go off by himself. He wasn't able to hide in his prayer closet. As a matter of fact, the scripture records what I believe is the shortest prayer in the Bible. And he simply and he urgently, as he was sinking down in that water, cried out and said, "Help me, Lord." Now, although it was short, it was effective. And although it was short, it was certainly urgent. A lot of times we find ourselves in the middle of a difficult situation, but we just can't abandon the situation to go leave and pray. And yet we still need to have immediate strength. We need to have immediate help. Well, Peter found himself there, and because he couldn't leave his situation, in his desperation, he voiced a short and urgent cry. The next time you're in a situation like that, the next time you don't have time to spend all night in prayer. Now, there's nothing wrong with spending all night in prayer and to do it often and stay prayed up. But if you find yourself in a situation, a difficult crisis, and you don't have time to stop and go off and pray, practice Peter's version of prayer. Just call out, "Help me, Lord." If you're sinking, cry out, "God, save me." If you need wisdom, you're in a difficult place and you just need the words to say, pray, "Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me kindness. Lord, give me mercy." Whatever the need is, immediately call out in prayer and ask God to give it to you in urgency and in faith and in believing. The more you practice this, the easier it becomes. And sometimes the shortest prayers are the most effective because they get right to business with God. I share this testimony, and it matches with a testimony that Robert Morgan gave in his book, and that is this, that I have never faced a crisis in which I made earnest prayer that God did not make a way. Every time in my life when I have prayed to God, he has given me the direction and the strength that we need. He didn't always take me away from the hurt or the pain, but he did take me through the hurt or the pain or the circumstances. God's word tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that the faithful, fervent prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. Dear friends, that is the greatest secret of hope that we can have, to put your hand in the hand of the one who can part the seas. That is God's ability, and you can call on his strength. Now, we notice that that was the first ingredient, was urgent. So their prayer was urgent, but it was also a united prayer. It's wonderful to pray alone, but there are times when agreement is needed with other believers. Praying with other people seems to intensify our prayers. Unity with others seems to send our prayers to heaven with a greater intensity or a greater velocity, if you will. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10 tells us, and let me just quote it again, it says, "The children of Israel cried out to the Lord." So it wasn't one, it wasn't just Moses, it wasn't just Aaron, it wasn't just a few of the priests. It says, "The children," meaning all of God's people in that time, "cried out to the Lord." So there was a great unifying cry rising up from a host of voices, literally piercing heaven like a massive distress signal. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20 tell us this. "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Now, there's a lot of people who read this scripture and misinterpret it, thinking, well, all I have to do is tag on "in the name of Jesus" in my prayer, and I get whatever I ask for. That's not the case. As a matter of fact, if you'd like to go back on your YouTube or Facebook channel, you can go back and look at this past Wednesday night's Bible study. It was a Bible study about prayer, and it spoke to that very thing. So I invite you to join us to look back at that six types of prayers from our Wednesday night study. It'll explain to you and share more with you about why we just don't pray for $1 million and say in Jesus' name, and that's the abracadabra to God floating down a check. We know this: God may not always say yes to our requests, but it does seem very strongly that he listens to us with an unusual attentiveness when two or three are gathered together in united prayer, when their hearts are seeking Christ, when their hearts are seeking the will of God. It seems that God just has a very tuned ear to that kind of situation. And when we do pray all together, he will respond in his own way and in his own time. We do know this, that he will give his power and his wisdom to our requests. Now, the Israelites' prayer was urgent, but it was also a united prayer. That was our second ingredient. There's a third ingredient to their prayer that we need to look at that's recorded there and that it shows us, and that was that their prayer was genuine. They were serious. They were intent. That's what earnest means. It means sincere, earnest, or intent. Now, you got to know that their prayer was genuine, because when they called out and they said, God help us, God save us, they meant it, because they saw their enemy, Pharaoh's army, descending upon them, and they just knew that they were going to die. Folks, this was not a religious ritual prayer. This was not a rehearsed prayer. This was not one of those prayers where they gathered together, they held hands around the table and began to pray, bless our food, bless this, bless that, with the same words that they used over and over again. Their prayer was genuine. It was real and it was raw, because they were in a difficult and terrible situation. Let me ask you, how do you pray? Do you pray believing? Do you pray genuine prayers? Or do you pray a rehearsed or a memorized prayer that really means nothing to you? You just go through the motions with your prayer, and it's something, a box that you check off before dinner or at bedtime or at religious gatherings. Do you pray believing? Did you know that Job chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 tell us this? If you will earnestly seek God and make your request to the Almighty, surely now he will awaken for you. God's word tells us that earnest prayer makes a difference. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 22 and following, it says that a man named Jairus came to God, and it says that he begged him earnestly, saying, my daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay hands on her. He had such faith that he prayed earnestly that Jesus would come and heal his daughter. In Luke chapter 7, verse 4, a group came to Jesus, and they earnestly, the scripture says, earnestly prayed and begged him for healing for a friend. You remember that just a few moments ago we discussed that in the garden, in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, that being in agony, the scripture says that Jesus prayed more earnestly, seeking the heart of his Father. Our deep agony, our deep love for other people, our deep needs for ourselves, but also praying in intercession for other people, should drive us to pray. And it shouldn't just drive us to pray in a regular manner, but it should drive us to pray earnestly. It should drive us to pray urgently, and certainly in united prayer with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, there was one more aspect of their prayer that I think we need to look at, and that was that they needed to have faith in God when they prayed, just like we do. We need to have faith in God when we pray. Now, I'm going to tell you this. The Israelites' cry of prayer didn't have much faith behind it. They were unbelieving. The scripture says that when God answered their cry, it was not because they expected him to. Look at what the passage unfolds. Let's look again at verse 10 and verse 11 of Exodus chapter 14. Scripture says, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. That we've read. Now look what happened, though. After they cried out to the Lord, verse 11 says, then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us out here to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt. They had absolutely no faith that God was going to answer the prayer that they had just lifted up. They cried out, the scripture says, and they said, they cried out to the Lord. But they just didn't believe that God was going to save them. They cried out, but they still believed that they were going to die. They prayed, but they didn't even begin to imagine that God would actually answer their prayer. You know, it's sad to say, but I think that almost every one of us can understand that. How often have we prayed? How often have we prayed for hours or through the night? But we pray with very little real belief. And if we do believe, a lot of times it's because we believe for someone else and not for ourselves. I struggle with that with my own walk in the past, where I believed so strongly that God would answer the prayers that I would lift up for other people, that God would answer the prayers as we prayed together for other people's needs. And yet, for some reason, for so long, Satan had me buffaloed, if you will, into believing that, oh, God will do it for everybody and God will do it for anybody, but not for me. I've had to come to a place where I realize that God is faithful and that God's prayers and God's promises are for us, for all God's people. Satan would try to lie to you to make you think that God will not answer your prayer. But if you will do as God's word instructs and you will pray earnestly, you will pray in faith, God's word says that he answers our prayers. All too often we say that we believe in his power. We believe in God's ability, but we focus not on our next actions. We don't focus then on what do we need to do because we believe God's going to answer in prayer. But instead, we focus on the negatives and all the things that we don't see happening and all the things that seem to be going against us. And we focus on the negative instead of on God's assurance and God's promises. God's word says that as we believe in him, that if we ask believing, that's when he begins to answer prayer. When we pray, we need to offer the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, as recorded in James chapter 5, verse 15, it says the prayer of faith will save the sick. It even says that if he has committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. Folks, that is a powerful prayer. If we do not pray with faith, our prayers have no power. I like what the Puritan writer Thomas Watson wrote years ago. He said this. He said, faith is to prayers what the feather is to the arrow. Faith feathers the arrow of prayer. It makes it fly swifter, more accurately, and to pierce the throne of grace. When we face impossible odds, like Israel did at the Red Sea, we must learn to pray urgently. We must learn to pray genuinely. We need to agree together, not just by ourselves, but with others. The scripture even says that there are times that we need to go to fasting in prayer. Folks, with all these things, we need to add this. We need to pray with real, trusting faith. We must trust our great prayer-answering God who grants mercy and imparts grace to help us in our time of need. He will help you in your time of need as well. Would you allow me to pray for you? And if you have a need this morning, I'm going to ask, would you not just hear this prayer, but perhaps you would join in and echo this prayer literally from your heart and just say, Lord, I'm agreeing with this prayer. So would you agree with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, for those who are listening even right now, even the one who thinks not them. God, would you help them to call on your name? Would you help them to call on your name with urgency? Lord, to spend the night in prayer if that's needed, but Father, also to know that they can call out to you with a brief prayer, crying out, saying, God, help me. Lord, would you show them, would you show us how there are times that we need to gather together and pray with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we need to trust you, Lord, that once we pray, believing with all our heart that that's your will, that we begin to take the steps of action that would follow it up. God, help us to call on your name in real faith, believing. Father, this is our prayer, In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. And I'd like to ask you, perhaps you said, you know, I seem to have prayed many times, but I've never really felt like my prayer's getting through. Did you know that the very first prayer that God hears from you is the prayer for salvation? If you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart and life, would you do so now? Would you, with faith and with earnestness and with urgency, would you pray, God, forgive me of my sin. God, would you come into my heart and my life? Would you be my master? Would you be my Lord? I want to follow you all the rest of the days of my life, and I want to live with you forever in your kingdom of heaven. God, I want to honor you in all that I do. There is so much more that you could pray, but in brief, that's what you need to pray. God, I believe. God, I know that you are my Savior. I know that your Son Jesus died on the cross. I know that he rose from the dead to forgive me of my sins and to prepare for a place for me in heaven. God, I receive that gift and I come to you. If you pray that prayer in earnestness, God knows. And the scripture says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful thing? Now, if you're feeling that once upon a time in your life, you were closer to God and you don't feel that anymore, all you have to do is call out to God for forgiveness and return to him. Be revived in him, if you will. Return to him, asking forgiveness and walking beside your Lord. Walking with him, talking with him, reading his word daily. Now, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And I'm going to invite you to come to church next Sunday. No, I'm not going to ask you to come in and let's all join together. But I am going to ask you to join us for an Easter drive-through next Sunday morning. From 10:30 to 12 o'clock next Sunday morning, come join us for Grace Point's drive-through Easter experience. We're going to adhere to the social distancing guidelines. And if nothing changes from the regulations of our government, then we're going to have this drive-through. You can drive through this our drive-through. You can receive prayer from your staff. You'll see all of our staff at that time. You'll get to greet them from a few feet away, and you can receive prayer. Bring with you a flower from your yard or your garden to blossom the cross. Or if you've been brave and you're able to get out to the stores this week and they have some flowers, grab a few extra flowers. You're going to have a chance to give flowers to a group who are going to be blossoming the cross. And then later that night, we're going to show you the time-lapse view of the cross being covered with blossoms, making an old, ugly, rugged cross into something beautiful, as our Lord has done with an instrument of torture. Now, some flowers will be provided, but bring some if you can. Also, remember that for the first 200 cars that come through, you're going to receive an Easter yard sign. It's free. It won't cost you anything, but you can put that out in your yard to let people know that even though you are unable to join together with others in church, you still worship the Lord our God. Look for our midweek messages this week and instructions for how you can have your own family Seder. If you go to the store, grab some crackers and some juice. That's all that you're going to need for this Seder. And we're going to show you how to have your own, if you will, Passover Seder right there with your family. Remember this too. Extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures. Be kind and loving to all those that are around you. And start with your family. You know, it's a rough time for all. They all need your patience and your strength. Pray for one another. And again, start with your family, but don't stop there. Pray for others that are around you. Look for what God is doing around you. And when God shows you what he's doing, you join him. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.